Father, I thank you for all that you mean to us. Without you, we can do nothing. Thank you for the power of your resurrection in our lives. The Spirit of God that raised up Christ from the dead is in us and is quickening our mortal bodies as well. As we go into today's lesson, we thank you because the entrance of your word brings light. We ask that light will shine in our hearts and give us understanding. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Welcome everyone. Praise the Lord. I don't know. Holy Spirit might say otherwise, but, you know, I want to do, a series on the kings and the prophets of, you know, Judah and Israel. And that's a reason why. Because there's many things in some of their stories. Now, remember, in First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6, the scripture says that the things that are written in the scriptures. Now, there are many things written in the scriptures, like stories and stuff like that. We can read them like just stories, or we can read them like this this instruction says in 1 Corinthians, chapter 10 and verse 6. It says, these things that are written in the scriptures are for our examples. You know, so there are many things that are written in the Bible. Some are stories, a lot of good storylines, even in the history of Israel, Judah and Israel. Well, a quick summary before we get into today. I was going to do two kings, then I realized that I'm not going to have time to do it. So I shrunk it back down to just one. But a quick summary here. You all know that, God was the king of Israel and he wanted to be the king, but the people rejected him. And when they rejected him, they said, we want to have kings, we want to have kings that we can see, just like the other kings of the nations. Give us a king like all the other kings of the nations. Well, now, you can read that story in 1 Samuel chapter 8, where the people said, give us a king to judge over us. We want to be like the rest of the world. Now that was their number one problem right there. The Lord chose them to be a peculiar people, different and called out. And they said, no, we want to be like the rest of the world. So that's a problem right there. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot be like the rest of the world. Anytime we try to fashion our minds like the rest of the world, we've already missed, a good part of, the hand of the Lord that's upon us. So God can't really do with us, his good intent when we are following after the ways of the world rather than following his own ways. It doesn't work. Be not conformed to the world. We are told, friendship with the world is enmity with God, So let's read where they began to go astray with this thing. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together themselves, 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 4. And they came to Israel unto Ramah. Came to Samuel unto Ramah. And they said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. So now, that's another story for another day. Samuel, even though he was devoted to the Lord and everything, his sons, it's kind of like even the sons of Eli. I don't know what was with these children. They were just not there, They did not follow the ways of their fathers. They did evil, even in the house of the Lord, even with the women, the money, and things. But anyway, let's leave that alone. They asked Samuel and said, look, You are old now. Your sons are not walking in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. See, so that was their first problem right there. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto them, unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. You know, so said all the works that I've done since the day I brought them out of the land of Egypt, you know, to this day, and yet they are forsaking me and to serve other gods. You know, okay. So the Lord said, well, just give them up to their own desires. You know, the thing displeased Samuel. He displeased the Lord too, but the Lord said, well, that's what they want. That's what they're going to get. You know, so that's a lesson for us. If you reject the Lord, well, he'll just give you up. They rejected the Lord and he just gave them up. This is what you want? Fine. You know, I'll give them to you, you know, and then you'll see what will happen. Of course, Samuel told them what will befall them, what the kings are going to do unto them and so on. Anyway, that's how the story of the kings started. And Saul was the first one that, you know, God told Samuel to install. You know his story, so I won't go too much into that so that we can move along with this thing. You know, but Saul was the first one. And then there was David after Saul, after God had rejected Saul because of his disobedience and so on. You know, although he thought he obeyed the Lord, he did not do all that God said, you know, that he should destroy the Amalekites and so forth, but he didn't do all of it. You know, you can read, you know, his lessons of disobedience in 1 Samuel chapter 13. You know, so finally, when God rejected Saul and God instructed Samuel to go and get to go and appoint a king from one of the sons of Jesse. We talked about that, you know, how, you know, when we did our despised and rejected of men lesson, we talked about David, who was not even invited initially to his own coronation ceremony. He was despised and rejected, but he was going to be king. So anyway, after Saul, then there was David. Now, both Saul and David, and even Solomon that came after David, they all ruled over all the 12 tribes of Israel. But in Solomon's days, the Lord told him that his kingdom will be divided because of so many things. And after him, his kingdom was split into two. We have what we call the northern half, you know, which consisted of 10 tribes. And that was initially ruled by Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And, you know, sometimes the scripture refers to that as Israel. Sometimes they even call them Ephraim or Samaria and so on. The southern half consisted of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. And that was ruled over initially by Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. And was often referred to as Judah, sometimes Jerusalem, and sometimes Zion. You know, so you have to kind of do some studies to see all these references. The one that's most common in the minds of people are Israel versus Judah. So let's just stick with that. That's the one that most people know. Well, first three kings of Judah were Rehoboam, Abijah, and Asa. I just wanted to give you the background of Asa. Asa is the one we're picking today. So, after Rehoboam, there was Abijah, and there was Asa. You know, and then, you know, there's a number of kings, and there's another one that's interesting. You know, after Rehoboam, Abijah, and Asa, then there was Jehoshaphat, then there was Jehoram, there was, you know, Ahaziah, And then there was even a woman that came in there very shortly. Her name was called Queen Athaliah. And then after her was Joash, and then Amaziah. So though, you know, I'm just tracing it down to the ones that I want to talk about today, but I've found that I'm not going to have enough time. So I'm going to just do, at first I posted the title of Asa and Amaziah, but I saw that I won't have enough time. So I changed it back to just Asa. But Amaziah is another good story. But I'm going to read something quickly from Amaziah, even though I'm not going to go into all of his story. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow, maybe not. I don't know. But let me just read something to you from his story. Second Chronicles. We're going to just read from, chapter 25. Now, there's just one thing I want to bring out here. In the way that the stories of these kings, on the one side there were kings, and then on the other side there were prophets. And there were prophets that were associated with each of these kings. You know, when there was a king, you know, in Judah, there were certain prophets that were there. When there was a king in Israel, there were certain prophets that were there. Some of the prophets overlapped and so forth. I won't get too much into the prophets today, but I want to talk about these kings. Now, there was something that was always said about these kings. There would be a summary that would be given about the kings. It said, well, he did that which was evil, or he did that which was right. He followed the ways of David, his father. And David was always one king that the Lord actually liked. And there many people were compared to him, many of these kings, you know, and so forth, you know. Now, as far as the Lord was concerned, you know, David, you know, was actually the real first king that the Lord, you know, wanted. You know, because I said David was a man after my heart, you know. But, you know, of course, as long as they were anointed, they were kings. Even Saul was anointed by Samuel. And David respected that when he said, look, I'm not going to, you know, put forth my hand against the Lord's anointed and so on. So, you know, but the scriptures would give like a summary of their life, you know, their reign, you know, whether they did well or whether they did evil, whether, you know, how they did, you know, and so on. Well, let's read a quick thing here. This is the reason why I found the story of this Amaziah interesting. You know, Second Chronicles 25, Amaziah was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign. Usually we're told when they began to reign, and they reigned for how many years, where they reigned, and so forth, what they did. Sometimes they tell you their mother's name, and sometimes not. You know, and then it will tell you, give you a summary of what they did. Some stories are long, some stories are short. Some of them will give you a quick summary and tell you to, well, is the rest of all his acts not written in such and such a place, you know, and so on. So if you find that kind of thing interesting, you trace it down, you know, in all the different places, and you get their stories together. But let's look at this man, Amaziah. Now, Amaziah was on the side of Judah. Remember, split into two, Judah and Israel. For the most part, the kings of Judah, for the most part, and I don't know why that was so, but for the most part, the kings of Judah were, they were all right. But for the most part, the kings of Israel were wicked and they did abominably before the Lord. For the most part, you know, like Jeroboam, who was the first king of Israel. You know, Jeroboam, he actually, you know, many people know the story of the golden calf, you know, in the life of the children of Israel. They may not know that this Jeroboam also did, you know, such evil, set up other two golden calves, you know. So, but we may get to that later on, but not today. But anyway, these stories are there. They're interesting stories, and they're not just stories. There's a lot to learn, you know, just like 1 Corinthians 10 says, they're for examples. There's a lot to learn in their stories. So this man, Amaziah, you know, here is what the summary of his reign was. You know, 25 years was old when he started. And he reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehudam of Jerusalem. Now, here is the summary of his reign. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, if you stop that sentence right there and you move on, you won't get a complete picture. So this is the thing I wanted to bring out. This man did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now, how in the world do you do something that was right in the sight of the Lord and still not a perfect heart? Well, that's a great lesson. And I'm going to spend some time on that. But that is so important. I mean, there's a lot of things that are right in the sight of the Lord. You know, I mean, when we do things that are right in the sight of the Lord. But what was, you know, was his heart actually perfect before the Lord in all his ways? In his perfect heart means every aspect of his heart. You know, was it perfect? Well, he did a lot of good things. And he actually did, you know. Now, what is righteousness? Let's just talk about that briefly. As far as God is concerned, and as far as we know, you know, that's being in right standing with God. That's doing what's right in the sight of the Lord. Not what the society thinks, not what we even think, not what somebody else thinks, you know. But how does God look at that thing? So this man, Amaziah, without getting into too much of his story today, you know, the summary alone tells us a lot, you know. And there are cases like this in the Bible. If you're not the only one, you say, well, some of them will say, well, he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And follow the ways of his father David and so forth. And he was perfect. Some other cases will say, well, it was not perfect. It was this and that, you know, and so forth. And there are many stories like that. It's a story of Asa that I want to deal with today. But remember, someone can actually do that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, yet not with a perfect heart. Keep that in the back of your mind from the story of Amaziah, even though we're not going to his full story today. Keep that in the back of your mind. Now, let's talk about Asa. Now, like I said, you know, Asa was the third, you know, of the kings of Judah. You had Rehoboam, then you had Abijam, and right away you had, you know, Asa. So Asa was like, you know, I mean, just four or five layers removed from David. Now, after Asa was Jehoshaphat, and so on and so forth. And in that line, some of the other famous names that you know, I've already mentioned this Amaziah, but a few generations down after Amaziah will be Hezekiah. And those are names that are common, that people know. Okay. Today, it's Asa. Now, we're going to read some parts of his story that we want to bring out, some lessons, what this Asa did, you know. His stories are found in multiple places in the Bible. It's found in, as a quick summary, found in 1 Kings 15. And then there is a lot of things about him in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 through chapter 16. So for reference, we will look at part of his story from 1 Kings chapter 15. Then we will look at, you know, a lot of his stories from 2 Chronicles chapters 14, 15, and 16. Now, this man, Asa, actually did something that we need. Let me even start with that one, because I always chuckle when I see it. Let's start with that one in 1 Kings chapter 15. This man did something that we need in the United States today, you know, and even in the world. So here is Asa, you know, that the Lord was talking about, starting from 1 Kings chapter 15, you know, and verse 9. And the 20th year of Jeroboam, the king, you know, what happened then? Well, you know, 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa reigned over Judah. So you see the parallel. Jeroboam was over here, and he was reigning for a long time, and Asa coming to reign. Before Asa, there had been Abijam, didn't reign for too long. But, and here's what he said, 41 years this Asa reigned in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maaka, the daughter of Abishalom. Now listen, and Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. Period. Didn't say he didn't have a perfect heart or not, but we'll see some of the stories when we get to Second Chronicles. But what is it that he did? I said, well, we need something like this in the United States. He took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. And that's some king that was bold. You know, get rid of all that nonsense, you know, that they took over the land. Sodomites, you know, he took them away. Now, what do Sodomites represent in our day today? Sodomites were known for homosexuality. Our society today is full of that. And people even glorify this stuff. And people they're now celebrating this stuff. And the President of the United States had the audacity to even come out on March 31st, just because that was the day Obama years ago put out for this celebrating of this LGBTQ, I don't know what they've added now, XYZ or whatever, you know, and then come out and put it. But it happened to be the day that we were celebrating the resurrection of the Lord as well. And I said the other day, I said he should have just kept his mouth shut, not say anything, you know, because you don't go against the Lord like that, you know. So I prayed for the man, and the Lord will have mercy upon him. I know what he was trying to do. You know, this politics, trying to win people over and so forth, you know, but people should not forget the Lord is the one that sets up. He sets up kings and he brings them down. So God set one up, he can bring one down and set up anything. He can do whatever he wants. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord, even this is a digression, but did you know that the Lord even called, you know, Cyrus his servant? And Cyrus at that time was not even known to be, you know, following the Lord. But the Lord picked him up. You know, the Lord said, I've raised him up for this purpose, to do this and to do that. So the Lord can do all these things. And people better be careful when they're in a position of authority, you know, to seek the Lord for counsel of how to lead the people. And that was something great in the life of Solomon that he did. You know, he sought the Lord for counsel. He said, Lord, I'm just a young child. I can't lead this, your great people. What am I going to know what to do? Give me wisdom. You know, give me understanding and so forth. And the Lord blessed him with that. Now, I wish these our leaders would do that and not think that they've got it all, the answers to everything. But anyway, you know, this man took away the Sodomites. Sure did. You know, and so forth. And he did something to his mother also. His mother was called the queen mother, you know. I mean, like queen mother, you know what I mean? You know, is the mother of the king at the time. She was the queen, you know. And he retained that title. They retained that title there at that time, you know. But what happened was the woman continued in idolatry. And Asa, when he came up, he didn't like it. Well, when he was a young boy under the mother, he probably couldn't do anything about it. But when he came to the throne and he had the opportunity, he put away. That's right. Now, that's some boy that was bold. You know, he put away his mother from being queen. He removed her. And said, you will not be queen over the land as long as you are serving idols. And he burnt her idols, trashed everything. Glory to God. I love that. I love that part of him. Well, Asa actually started out very, very well. He was great, you know, and his heart was fully trusting the Lord. And the Lord, you know, gave him victory, you know, won many battles. And then after a while, the Lord gave him rest on every side. And we'll see. We'll read some of his stories, see what are the things that happened. Anyway, he took away Maaka, his mother, from being queen. because she made an idol in the grove, and he also destroyed that idol and burnt it in the brook Kidron, you know, and so on. He said, look, I'm not going to have this here. But the high places, this high places thing, this was a problem for many of the kings of Judah, Israel, all of them. They had these places, they go up to these mountains and different things, and they, you know, did this and did that, you know, for the Lord, you know, and they, most of the time it started out as some pagan practice that they did. And then, you know, they tried to use the same thing, you know, for the Lord, and the Lord hated all of it, you know. And so when you talk about the high places, you know, and so forth, that's what they were, you know, but he did, you know, he did not quite remove all the high places. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. Now, you can't say that for Amaziah, who did many good things, but his heart was not perfect. Well, this one says, well, he did a lot of good things, except that all of the high places were not removed. And that's okay, you know, if you didn't remove all of it, as long as you didn't go and sacrifice on it. But, you know, his heart, in his own case, was actually called perfect, you know. And, he brought in all the things which his father had dedicated, and the things which himself had dedicated to the house of the Lord, and so forth, you know. And then he began to do, you know, have wars and different things, and some of that parts of his story ensued, you know, and there are a lot of things that this man Asa did, you know. Sometimes the alliances he made and the various things that he did, they are in here. But the part of the story that I really want to concentrate on is the one in Second Chronicles. Now, I recommend that y'all read this. They're good reading. And if you like to read, read this, 1 Kings chapter 15. You know, see some of the alliances that he made. And then read 2 Chronicles chapters 14 through 16 to get the rest of his story. So I'm going to turn over to 2 Kings chapter, Second Chronicles, sorry. And he says here in 1 Kings 15, the rest of all the acts of Asa and all his might and all that he did and all the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Now, so that means that you got to go over there to read the rest of his story. And he says here, you know, and in his old age, nevertheless, in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet. But here in the Kings, the story of the Kings didn't tell us this. Rest of the story in the Chronicles that he said about this is disease in his feet. So if you read one part and you don't read the other parts, you may not get the full story. Here in Kings, he just said, well, you know, something happened to him in his old age. You know, got an infection in his feet and so forth. But, you know, he didn't give us all the scoop. Well, and then he was buried. That's how he left it. But let's go over to Second Chronicles and see more of the scoop, if you want to call it that, that was in the life of this Asa. You know, so, you know, when Abijah slept, sometimes they call him Abijah, sometimes they call him Abijam, same person, same name. When he's, you know, that was the son of Rehoboam, who came in after Rehoboam, and Asa was his son. So after Abijah slept with his fathers, they buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, this is 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And in his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. You know, I was praying about this. I don't know if it was late last night or early this morning. I was just praying in my mind. I said, Lord, I mean, this quietness that you gave people, sometimes 10 years of quietness, sometimes 15 years of quietness. Sometimes he gave Solomon, he gave Asa. I said, this is really good. I mean, they come in like, look, you have no issues. I mean, everything's just going well. I mean, can we really say that for like 10 solid years? Everything was going well. You had no issues, no concerns, no anxiety, no running up and down. That's really great. You know, just quiet, you know, quiet, everything just going well. And Asa did that was good, that which was good in his sight and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars and the strange gods, you know, and the high places. Well, this in the other place, he didn't take away all of the high places. So we know he did take some away. And he break down the images and cut down the groves. And he commanded, I love this one. He commanded, you know, it's good to have a king that takes, you know, leadership role, even in serving the Lord. You know, he said he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Now, the kings, the historian kings didn't really bring this part out, you know, but this is really good. You know, this man in all his days commanded the people, you know, to serve the Lord. Isn't it wonderful if you have a leader like that? Wow. You know, may the Lord grant us leaders that will actually, their hearts will be after the Lord instead of their own political careers. You know, anyway, this Asa was good in that respect. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah, high places, images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. They began to build fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. Now, notice how many times? Three times already. He's talked about the rest, the quietness, and the rest again. But there's a reason for it. Let's keep looking. You know. So, now he said. Now, remember, you know, he had some wars. This one didn't talk about the wars, but he had some wars in 1 Kings. And then later on, he got rest. And, you know, everything was quiet. You know. And, you know, so. But during his early years, the wars didn't last very long. He got a lot of rest. And then he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God and we have sought him and he hath given us rest on every side. Now, that's a good lesson, and that's a good statement coming from the king. He said, look, the reason we have rest is because we have sought the Lord our God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let us learn from this. If we seek the Lord with all our heart, Jesus himself said the same thing, John 6, 33, seek ye first the kingdom, Matthew 6, 30. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you, including rest, including assurance, including tranquility, you know, and so forth. You know, so you can read that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus said that himself. But this man, Asa, was bringing out a point and said, look, the reason we have rest is because we have sought the Lord, our God. We sought him. We sought after him. And now he has given us rest. And he's acknowledging the Lord. You know, isn't that beautiful? It is a beautiful thing to acknowledge when the Lord does things like this for us. And he did. And so they began to build. You know, so they built and they prospered. Now in verse 8, he says, and Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bear shields and drews, bows, 204 score, that's 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. You know, then after a while, some stuff came out against him. But let's see some of the things that the Lord would have Asa say. That's a statement that Asa made here, you know, and, you know, some of his, great grandson would later make similar statement. Now, Asa was an immediate son of, Jehoshaphat was an immediate son of Asa, you know, but down the line, you know, later on, we would see, Hezekiah. They would make similar statements like this. After a while, you know, so let's see what he said when, you know, in the beginning of his reign, he had rest. And then at this time, he had some war. you know, and then they came out against Sisera of the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000, that's 1,300 chariots, and came unto Maresha. And Asa went out against him, and they set the battle. Now, Asa only had like, you know, 300,000 here and 280,000 there. So in total, he had only like 580,000. And he's going against an army that's almost double. He's going against an army of million, you know. But let's see what he said. Well, when they went to battle, you know, people in those days, they trusted in numbers. I mean, the larger your army, you know, the more likely to intimidate your opponent or your enemy with your numbers, you know, and so forth. And that's how they did it. You know, bring, you know, if you don't have enough, go to your neighboring king and hire some people from them, you know, and just beef up your army before you go into battle. That's what they did back in the day. So 580,000 versus 1,000,000 is what we see here. But here's what Asa said, you know, when they went out to battle in the valley of Zephatha and Maresheth. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, now listen to this. This is very good. And we should learn this. And Asa was the one that said this statement. He said, look, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. You can come with 1,000,000. God can help you with that. You can even come with a few. God can help you with that. But Asa knew that, look, you know, God can do anything. And he says, help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest in you. This man was always acknowledging the Lord. And in thy name, we go against this multitude. O Lord, our God, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Not, he didn't say prevail against us. He said prevail against thee. And, you know, some of his later children and grandchildren, they learned this kind of prayer. You know, Hezekiah learned the same kind of prayer. You know, and so on. You know, and say, look, you know, he made it God's fight. He said, look, they've done, they come against the Lord, you know, and so on. So, you know, and this man, he knew that. He also knew how David, you know, his grandfather had come against the Goliath in the name of the Lord. When all of Israel said, this man has come to defy the armies of Israel. David said, no, this man has come to defy the armies of the living God. So he knew in his heart that he was going to be God. And he made it a spiritual thing, whereas the people were trying to go in the arm of their flesh. You know, so we see some traits of that here, even in Asa, saying, look, Lord, we know that you can help. It's a little thing for you to help with many, as in this one that had 1,000,000 against us, or even with us who have no power against this company. And people have said things like that. You know, we have no power against this company, but our eyes are upon you. You know, so Jehoshaphat and the rest of them, they said that too. Now, so he said, well, we're going against them. But let not man prevail against you. So he's pitching, you know, this is a good pitch. You know, when you pitch to the Lord like this, you look at your enemy, you call them flesh, you know, and Hezekiah, the rest of them, they said the same thing. With them is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord God. You look at your enemy, you call them arm of flesh, and you call the Lord, you know, you call the Lord, and you tell him, look, let not this arm of flesh prevail against you. And when you know how to pray like that, and that does something to the Lord. I've often told people, I said, look, when you make it God's fight, you know, you're on your way to victory. Because now you're making God defend his name. That's what Jehoshaphat, I mean, the rest of them, Hezekiah especially, did. You know, so this man said the same thing here. He said, look, let not man prevail against thee. And because he said that, now he has made it God's fight. See? When you make this thing God's fight, and the Lord will stand up and fight for himself. As I've often said, God must defend his own name. His word is his bond. and his name is his reputation. He has to defend that name. So when you tell the Lord, look, let not the inhabitants of the world or these people that come against us, let them not prevail against you. Or you say to the Lord, look, of a truth, they have cast all the gods of these nations into the fire, for there were no gods. But thou art the very God, that dwellest in the midst of the cherubims. And now, O Lord, save us from his hand, that all the people may know that you are the Lord. When you begin to pray like that, and you're not saying, save us from his hand, so that we will not be destroyed. Save us from his hand, so that our wives be not become widows. Save us from his hand, that our children not become fatherless. Save us from his hand, that our cities be not destroyed. I mean, yeah, those are good prayers. But when you say, save us, O Lord, from his hand, that all the people may know that there is a God over Israel. And when you put it like that, now, you're making it God's fight. So it's like God will now flex his arms. That's right. Say, wow, yeah, you know. So because now you're making it his fight. So this man was also making his fight. This is where Hezekiah learned all these things from. You know, so he said, look, let no man prevail against you. And because he said that, the Lord rose up and smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah. And the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him, they pursued them unto Gerar. And even Ethiopians, now remember, 1,000,000 versus 580. You know, 1,000,000 versus 580,000. You know, and the Ethiopians were overthrown that they could not recover themselves. They were destroyed before the Lord and before his host. And they carried away very much spoil. Now, it's now calling it the host of the Lord. And they smote all the cities around. And the fear of the Lord came upon them. They spoiled their cities and there was exceeding much spoil. You know, and these people, they smote the tents and carried away all the sheep in abundance. And return to Jerusalem. Mighty, mighty things that this man, Asa, you know, mighty victory that he obtained that day because he trusted in the Lord, his God. Hallelujah. All right. So that was good. I mean, chapter 14 was all good. I mean, started out all good. God gave him rest. He acknowledged rest. Said, look, let's build, let's prosper, let's do all these things while we have rest and so forth. And they did. He also used, good counsel. Said, look, you know, you can't build in troublous times. So right now when we have, you know, peace and quietness, this is the time to build. So he understood those things and he did very well. And the Lord gave him victory and so on. Now let's turn to the next chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Now, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he'll be found of you. Now, he's going to warn them now. But the Lord already foresaw something. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, for a long season, there had been no, you know, there are these people, Israel, had been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without the law for a long time, you know. So occasionally some of them would do what's right, others would just do whatever they wanted, you know, because there really wasn't, you know, a teaching priest, and they didn't really have the true God. They had all kinds of gods, there's always all kinds of gods, but who was the true God? And they were not with the true God at the time, you know. So, and he said, you know, the Lord, you know, this man came and said, look, when you were without God and without law and so forth, you're going to be in problems. But when in your trouble, you turn unto the Lord and besought, he was also found of them. Now, in those times, because they were without the true God and without a teaching priest that would teach them the ways of the Lord and the law of the Lord, well, you know, there was no peace to them that went out. You know, all that period of peace was gone because they deserted the Lord. You know, and then, you know, no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came out. Great vexations upon the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, city of city, and God did vex them with all adversity. But he told them, but be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, you know, for your work shall be rewarded. Amen. Isn't that a good thing to say? Second Chronicles 15 and verse 7. It's a good exhortation and admonition for you. We should learn this scripture and use it for ourselves. Be strong, therefore, in whatever you are doing for the Lord. And let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Amen. So that's a good lesson. You may take that as a memory verse today. Second Chronicles 15 and verse 7. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Now, when Asa heard these words, now, this was one time that Asa, listen to what he did. When he heard these words, the prophecy already did, he took courage and put away even more abominable idols and so forth. Because the Lord, this man said, look, when you seek the Lord, he'll be found of you. When you're close to him, he will do great things for you. You know, do this and so forth. Don't let your hands be weary. And he took courage and he began to destroy many things. You know, many more things. Some of the things that had creeped up again. You know, every time you destroy some things, they creep up again. So more things creeped up. Abominable idols creeped up again. You know, people were always creating idols and say, this be thy gods, O Israel, and so on. They were always doing that. So he destroyed them all again, you know. And then, you know, went, you know, and took, you know, took all the idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of all the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim. And he renewed the altar of the Lord. That was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers which are out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. And that all of them fell to him out of Israel in abundance, for they saw that the Lord his God was with him. You know, now these people noticed something about this man Asa, because he was commanding them after the Lord. He was destroying, you know, some of the high places and all of these idols and different things, getting rid of these Sodomites and all that. You know, and they gathered themselves unto him. You know, so now they gathered themselves, Jerusalem, the third month, the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord at the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep, and so on and so forth. And they entered into covenant. This is a man, you know, that was commanding the people of the Lord as king to seek the Lord. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and all their soul. And here's what he commanded at that time too. He said, look, anyone that would not seek the Lord God of his fathers, he should be put to death. Now this man is he meant business. You know, I mean, in all his regions, he wanted people to serve the Lord, small or great, man or woman. You all seek the Lord. And everybody come into a covenant and say, we agree. And they made a covenant. And they made an oath to the Lord. We will seek the Lord our God. And if we don't, we'll be put to death. They all came into covenant because of this man's leadership. And they swore unto the Lord with a loud voice. And with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. And Judah rejoiced at the oath. I mean, can you imagine how a king can rally his people like this? God rid of abominations, God rid of the idols, God rid of the Sodomites, God rid of even his mother, who was the queen, got rid of her because of the idols that she was serving, dethroned her, and trashed her idols, burned them, threw them in the river. And all these things. He cleaned house, you know, and he commanded the people to serve the Lord. And the people in his days, they served the Lord. And they even rejoiced. He made an oath. He said, look, you will either serve the Lord or you will be killed. You know, that's a rod of iron. You know, you make people, they're going to, you know, either serve the Lord willingly or the rod of iron. And he said, look. And they said, well, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And they even rejoiced, you know. But they had all sworn with all their heart, and they sought him with all their whole desire. They sought the Lord, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest again about round about them. Yeah. Isn't this beautiful? I mean, so many wonderful things. The role that this Asa played in commanding the people after the Lord. More so than even any of the other kings. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa was on a roll. He's not going to let his mother or anybody else stand in the way of seeking the Lord. That's right. Got rid of her. You know, you've been queen mother, you know, but you don't deserve to be there. We need leaders that would lead the people in the way of the Lord, not those who would turn them to idolatry. So he deposed her right away and said, you will not be queen anymore. And he took all the idols of his mother, burned them, cut down her idol, stamped it down, burnt it at the brook Kidron. Ah, he did that too. But there were some high places that he left that were still in Israel that were not taken away and so forth. You know, so, you know, he did all of that. Now, if you read all of the things that he did in this chapter, that's so good. You know, even though he didn't do take away those high places, he said, nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect in all his days. Now, not exactly like Amaziah, whose heart was not perfect. Even if though he was doing the right things, his heart was not perfect. This man, Asa, his heart was perfect. All his days. And he brought in the house of the Lord the things which his father had dedicated, which he himself dedicated, silver, gold, vessels, and so forth. And then there was no more war, you know, until the 35th year. You know, I mean, many things there that he 15 years of rest and more and so on. And it was just good. All the rest that he had. It was just good. And he commanded, and you can see all the great things that he did. Now, in the 6th and 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and against, you know, against them to war. And he built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out and in. So Ramah was like a barricade, you know, they built that against, you know, against the cities of Judah so that they wouldn't go out. Surrounded them, barricaded them in, you know. And then Asa brought out silver and gold and the treasures. Now, let's read this one carefully now. In the previous chapters, we saw how Asa trusted in the Lord when the Ethiopians came against him. And how he said, look, they've got a million. We got much less, only about half their company. But, you know, you can save with great, you can save with little. You can do it. And he trusted the Lord. And he said, look, let not man prevail against you. All of that. You saw how he approached that. And he got the victory. Now, let's see what he did here. Now, this was a little strange that a man who had done all of that before would now do this. You know, this is why his story is very interesting. And even though the Lord said it was perfect in his days, something began to happen here with this man, you know. Now, this man now brought silver and gold out of the treasure of the house of the Lord, and the king's house. And he sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, and said, look, come and help me out, you know. You know, that you know, he reminded him, he said, remember, there was a league between me and you. And that's like there was a league between your father and my father. You know, therefore, I'm sending you gold. You know, break your league with the king of Bashan, Israel, and so forth. Let him depart from me, Bashan, the king of Israel. And you come and help me instead. So he's trying to bribe this man that, look, you know, break your league with them, join me, and so forth. And, you know, because he was afraid this time around. Instead of trusting the Lord, he was afraid. And here's what happened. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto the king and sent captains of his armies to the cities of Israel. And he smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and the stores of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left off of building Ramah and let the work cease. You know, so Asa actually got the help that he needed, you know, this way by reaching out to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. That's how he got his help this time around. You know, but remember the things that he tried to pay this man with? Treasures from the house of the Lord. And even treasures from, well, treasures from the house of the king would have been all right. But he also took treasures from the house of the Lord, you know, to pay, you know, this, you know, to get this alliance from Syria. You know, so after he did all this, well, they actually got the victory at the time, you know. So they took all the stones of Ramah, which Bashan had been building, and the timber, and therefore, you know, they took the building and they used it to build some of their own cities. And they got the victory at the time. But that thing did not go unnoticed by the Lord. Now, at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah. Now listen to this. And said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God. Now, if you didn't read this chapter, you would have just said, well, Asa was perfect all his days. Well, ladies and gentlemen, yes, he was perfect all his days up unto one point in time. And then at that point in time, something happened and it began to go downhill. And we're going to see it here. You know, so it's not how you start out the race. You know, that's not all. But he that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. You know, you got to follow on through. You know, even the scriptures say, you know, when they were commanding them, you know, in the prophets and said, look, you know, if a righteous man leave his righteousness and turn into iniquity and die in his iniquity, he shall die in his iniquity. You know, his righteousness which he had done before will not save him. But now he has turned away from his righteousness. So now this man, the prophet came against him. It was a seer and said to him, you know, now is this the right thing for you to do now and turn to the help of man rather than the Lord? You know, now, you know, he said, well, you know, it brought out, you know, the word of the Lord. He said, look, were not the Ethiopians and Lubims a huge host? Remember, a million and very many chariots of horsemen yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord at that time and he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord, this is where that scripture comes from, that many people quote. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, and he show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect before him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. Now, when you trusted on the Lord, you had rest. When you trusted on the arm of flesh, you will now have wars. Now, and instead of Asa repenting, now this is where it started to go wrong. Asa could have repented and said, Lord, I've done foolishly. Yes, indeed, in those days when I trusted you, you saved me by the mighty hand. I have done foolishly in calling upon, you know, a man, because vain is the help of man. Say, you know, woe unto the man that puts his trust in princes and chariots. But, you know, instead of him doing that, look at his reaction. You know, Asa was rough with his seer. The first time that one seer came to him to tell him to seek the Lord. If you seek the Lord, it'll be well with you. If you abandon him, he will not be well. You know, he sought the Lord, commanded all of Israel to seek the Lord. Now, this time around, you know, he became arrogant. That's right. This same Asa that we have been reading about finally became arrogant, was rough with his seer and put him in prison. And there was a rage in him because of this thing. He was furious. I mean, why in the world would you come and tell me this thing? You know, and so forth. You know, and if it didn't stop there, you see, when you start living on edge like that, instead of humbling yourself to the word of God, the moment you start to despise the word of the Lord, when the Lord brings rebuke, instead of humbling himself, he despised the word of the world, angry, even put the man that spoke it in prison. The moment he did that, he began to go down a slippery slope. It started going down and down. It's almost like the Spirit of the Lord, you know, I was guiding him, departed from him because he's now full of pride and everything. He would not humble himself, obey the word of the Lord. When he did all of these things, and then even at that time, not only the prophet that spoke against him, listen to this, and Asa oppressed some of his own people at the same time. And something began to happen to him. He became a different man. And this was a man that put away his own mother for serving idols. It was a man that commanded the whole of the country to serve the Lord. This was a man that loved the Lord, did the right things, you know, trusted the Lord and everything. But all of a sudden, pride entered into his heart. You know, you talk to me like that and so forth. Were furious with a seer, put him in prison. And then his whole attitude began to change. He began to oppress even his own people. Now, before now, he was a commander in righteousness. That's all he did. Commanded the people to follow the Lord. And so now, he became an oppressor to his own people. And this is what happens when someone doesn't stay with humility. And you allow something to come into your head, and then you no longer tremble at his word. You know, you no longer tremble at his word. A lot of things, bad things can start happening. And bad things started to happen to this man because he no longer trembled at his word. As a matter of fact, he despised the word of the Lord and even put in prison the person that spoke the word. But the Lord said, look, this is the man to whom I will look. Even he that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Isaiah 66 and verse 2. You know, but this man, at this time, he did not tremble at the word of the Lord. If I despise the word of the Lord, put the prophet or the seer in prison and so forth. And he did all kinds of things. And he even began to oppress his own people. He became very mean. Became very irrational. He was just doing things. Anybody tried to tell him anything, you know, you just throw them in prison and so on. You know, you know, this was a man that started out very, very well. You know, so now those were not a good thing. You know, and then, you know, so well, behold the acts of the, you know, of Asa, first and last, they are written in the books of Kings and so forth. And Asa, in the 30th and 9th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet. This was the same we read before. Now, that disease became exceeding great, yet in his disease. Notice this. I mean, there was a decline in his relationship with God. Just kept declining, kept declining, kept declining. At this time, you know, he got to the point where something happened to his feet, and an infection in his feet. It was very, very bad. But yet, in that disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Now, hey, we love the physicians. We love what they do, and they do a great job and so forth. But you, as a child of God, you must seek to the Lord first. And even when you get help from the physicians, you must know that the true healing comes from God. You know, they can help manage your disease or whatever you do. But only God can really heal. There's so many incurable, so-called incurable diseases which medical science can't handle. But the Lord can heal them all. But this man, he never, in his early days, he would not have sought to physicians. He would have sought to the Lord. But this time around, he could care nothing less about the Lord. He began to despise the way of the Lord and so on. And, you know, people might have been telling him, let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's do this. Just cast everything off his mind, you know, and it didn't end very well for him, you know. He later died 2 years later, and so on and so forth, you know. So, when you read the totality of his story, here are the lessons we learn. Asa, you know, being the third of the kings after the kingdom split, you know, he also knew how to serve the Lord. He, you know, he came into, you know, in those days, it was like, you know, they were just a lineage of kings. And if you happen to be king, then your son, you know, became king after you. And so that's the way it was. David, then Solomon, you know, and so forth. And Solomon almost didn't make it. His mother had to fight for him and remind David what he had said and so on. And then after Solomon, his son, and then his son's son, and so on and so forth. That's how they did it back then. It was just like a monarchy kind of thing, and just trickle down the line. But he started out very well. You know, when he got in there, he cleaned house, got rid of his mother that was an idol worshiper, took her out of the palace. That's right. You don't belong here. We need someone here that, you know, Judah can look up to, that will lead them the way of the Lord, not idols and so on. Got rid of all that. I mean, that's tremendous. And he even commanded all the people who followed the Lord, made them to make an oath. I mean, it was just amazing in the first part of his life. And even when there was an army that more than doubled his own army that came up against him, he trusted the Lord, called upon the Lord, said, look, this is you that they are fighting, you know, and so forth. He made it God's fight, and he got victory, and God gave him rest, you know. But I think throughout all that rest, he might have become, you know, a little, I don't know, some pride got inside of him. And maybe, you know, little less prayer, little spent less time with the Lord, little this, little that, you know, some things started creeping. By the time his next big trial came along, you know, his relationship wasn't as strong with the Lord, maybe because of all the rest. You know, sometimes, you know, some of those challenges actually cause us to draw closer to God. This man had so much rest all around and so forth that he just became relaxed. And he didn't have the sensitivity that he once had. This time around, you know, when these people came up against him, he forgot what the Lord did with the Ethiopians. And then he began to seek for help from somewhere else rather than seek to the Lord. And the Lord didn't like that at all. See, our God is a jealous God. Hallelujah. Praise God. His name is actually called Jealous too. He's a jealous God. He wants to be our God, our source, our help, our shield, our deliverer. And David, he knew this. I mean, all those things that David used to call the Lord, that's all everything God wants to be to us. David will say, the Lord is my rock and it's my fortress. It's my high tower. It's my shield. It's my, you know, defense. It's, you know, under his wings, I will trust. It's my salvation. Become my song. Is this? I mean, you just talk, call on the Lord, give him all these accolades. And Lord say, yeah, that's exactly who I am. You know, and you know, David himself, even though he used all those accolades, he really couldn't describe the Lord in full. He was describing the aspects of the Lord that he had experienced. And a lot of people throughout the Bible, they describe one aspect. They gave him all these names, Jehovah this, Jehovah that, and so forth, because of all the aspects that they experienced. And, you know, but the Lord wants to be our all in all. Now, when our heart begins to wander away from him being our number one source, you know, and it starts to be second place, third place, fourth place, or fifth place, or no place at all in our lives, you know, that's a problem. In fact, second place is a problem already. You know, the moment that God becomes second place, it might as well be no place at all. Because he is God. And thou shalt have no other gods. Thou shalt worship no other gods. I am the Lord your God, your King. That's what he said. That's what he wants to be. That's where he wants to be in our lives. So many lessons to learn from this story of Asa. How such a man, where we were told his heart was perfect before the Lord, how he started out with all this greatness and so marvelous things that he did, commanding the whole nation to serve the Lord, to make an oath, to do all of these, putting away his mother, putting away his sodomites, putting away all these things, cutting down all the groups. How suddenly he can change. You know, that's why the scripture say, let him that think he standeth, let him take heed, lest he fall. No matter, if you think you are standing today and you're doing all the right things for the Lord, well, better take heed now. You know, lean on the Lord always. Never at any time think that you can do it by yourself. But this man, he was so great in all his ways. And then his downfall came when he was rebuked by the word of the Lord. and he was arrogant. So ladies and gentlemen, this is where I'm going to end my lesson today. Never, never despise the word of the Lord, whether it is rebuke, whether it is correction, whatever it is. Bible say, look, the word of God is good for all those things, even to correct us, even to rebuke us, even to exhort us, even to instruct us in righteousness, whatever it is. If we only take the word of the Lord when it is good, and you don't take it when it stings and bites, well, we might end up like this, Asa. You know, all scripture, 2 Timothy 3 and 16, given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine. You're looking for teaching, it's there. It is also good for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, so that you may be thoroughly, you may be perfect. God wants us to be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And perfect all our days, not perfect up to some point, and then we start going down the slope. So ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson for today. I think there's a lot of good things to learn from this lesson. And beware, you know, beware, even as the scripture has said, beware at any time, lest the sin of pride, you know, get inside of us. Always humble yourself. And you know, what is it that the Lord will have of you, O man, but that you should walk softly before him, you know, and let him that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed, you know, lest he fall. You can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. This was the same chapter where I was telling us that, look, all these things were written for our examples. These same people, they started out with the Lord and things were great in their lives and so forth. God brought them out of Egypt and there were a lot of good things. But afterward, the same people that have seen all those miracles, their hearts were not right before the Lord. And they began to do crazy stuff, you know. And after all those times, the Lord destroyed the same people that he brought out, you know. So that's our lesson today. And I pray that the Lord will help us so that, you know, these things that happen, say now these things happen for, you know, unto them for examples, and they were written for admonition, unto whom the ends of the world are come. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Wherefore, in verse 12, he says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. I'm going to pray over the room, and then I'll yield it for discussions. Father, I thank you for these great lessons that we are learning from your word, you know, to seek the Lord all the days of our lives and to keep our minds on him and to tremble at his word. Hallelujah. So Lord, I pray that you help us to do that and to walk humbly before the Lord all the days of our life, and to receive instruction and to accept correction. Hallelujah. Even as it is written. And now, O Israel, in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But for you to fear the Lord, to walk in all his ways, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. This is what the Lord requires of us. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. And let me read one more or two scriptures real quickly. Same thing that the Lord will tell us in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. You know, the Lord will tell us these things. Look, it's good for us all our days, not just, you know, in the beginning, but all our days, you know. The Lord has showed thee, O man, Micah 6 and 8, what is good and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly for the Lord thy God. This man, after a while, did not walk humbly because he was furious just because he was corrected by the seer. You know, so that's not a great place to be. May the Lord help every one of us to follow and hear instruction. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring in every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. And the Lord shall bring the sin of pride down. If you smite the head of the sin of pride and see what happened to Asa at the end. The Lord bless you as you think and meditate on these things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.